Before Jeff comes up to bring the sermon, the message today, I'm going to be reading the passage that we've been looking at for a number of weeks. This is the last in the series. It's on the armor of God. So we're going to Ephesians, and I'm going to be reading the full passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Maybe some of you are even memorizing that. You've heard it so many times. Wouldn't that be good if we could really know that and memorize that? So, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of God.
And let's just do just that, just before we start, let's pray. Dear Lord, pray that you might help us this morning to learn from your word. Pray that you might help me to speak your word and to do it in a way that would be pleasing to you. Pray that you might help us to learn from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So it would be helpful to have that passage open. If you need a Bible, one can be brought to you, or if you've got one on your phone or something, that would be good. So it's Ephesians chapter 6. And we're looking at those last few verses, 18 through 20. And this is written by Paul to the church at Ephesus. He'd been there for a couple years, some time previously. And he helped to establish the church there. And when we think about Paul, there's a few things that we know about him. So one thing that we see in these few verses, he describes himself as a prisoner, as being in chains. So we know that he's a prisoner. He's awaiting his trial to plead his case. One of the other things that we know about Paul is that he has some sort of a physical ailment. It's referred to in 2 Corinthians. It's described as a thorn in the flesh. So we don't know quite what it is, but we do know that he struggles with some sort of physical ailment. One of the other things that we know about Paul that I don't often think about, we often read his letters and we can see the force of his arguments, but there's a question about how good he was at speaking. In 2 Corinthians 10:10, he mentions exactly this point. He quotes something that other people have said. He says, "They say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing." And then also in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks to himself as coming there with weakness and great fear and trembling. So we can see Paul, the author here, very humanly in those different passages, and I think that helps us to keep that in mind when we're studying some of the things that we're looking at today. Over the last few weeks in this series of messages, we've looked at the picture of the armor that's used in spiritual warfare, and it's they describe how God has provided different bits of armor for our use. But I think these last few verses are talking about how that armor is to be used. So our verses describe prayer. It's not an additional piece of armor. Instead, it's a picture of how this all works together. So he's not included and described it as a separate piece of armor. Every other piece of armor has been very detailed. But this is something that's different. And so I think we can see this in context with the beginning of our passage, where it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." I think that that's the idea, that the strength comes through the washing of everything in prayer. And so we're going to look at two ideas in this morning. So strength in the Lord in our attitude in prayer, and then strength in the Lord in who we pray for and how we pray. So we're going to start with the first one, strength in the Lord in our attitude in prayer. Our attitude in prayer can be seen in a few different ways in this passage, that it should be in the Spirit, that it should be at all times, that we should be alert, and that we should be persistent. So a few different ways that we are to do that. So praying in the Spirit. So Paul is stating that we are to pray in the Spirit, but that begs a question. Does that mean that we can pray not in the Spirit? Is there a way that we can pray and not be in the Spirit? And I think the answer is yes. And I think that those prayers are maybe not really prayers. I think they're just maybe words that are uttered that hit the ceiling and go around the room, but they're not going from our heart to God's heart. And I think we've all heard things like this. We go to a school assembly and we see and hear people recite a text, and it seems like they're doing that to tick a box for the assembly. Or we go to a public event where a prayer is read out. Or a bit more personally, you might have a meal in your family, and that each family member knows that before the food is going to be served, that there's going to be a prayer that's said. And I think that's the difference between real prayer in the Spirit and these prayers, that a prayer that is said or read rather than prayed is not really a prayer. And so I think that's one of the ideas of praying in the Spirit. It's important to understand that prayer isn't another type of sort of literary exercise or a type of a writing like a poem, although prayers can be lyrical and they can be poetic. But whatever they are, as far as that, they must be a conversation between us and our Creator. Prayers need to be prayed in order to be in the Spirit. And the second thing with this idea of prayer in the Spirit, we read in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about speaking God's wisdom. And he says that we need to speak God's wisdom. We need to know it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, those things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit." So praying in the Spirit, we need things to be revealed to us by God's Spirit. It's through his Spirit that they are revealed. So it's part of the same thing, that we need to be in communion with God in order to pray. What else does Paul say in our passage about praying? He says that we're to also to be alert and to be persistent. praying at all times. Actually, one last thing before we go on to that. Praying at all times means what's also referred to in Thessalonians when it says, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So praying at all times in the Spirit means that we need to be in a state where we can constantly pray to God. There needs to be nothing that interrupts our communication between Him and us. If we have sin in our lives, we need to confess those things and to clear that so that we can speak to Him freely. And obviously, praying at all times means that we can't walk around speaking prayers at all times. And there are times that we need sort of where our attention can only be focused to a certain extent. And so sometimes we need to concentrate on a particular task. But we need to have lives and live in such a way that we can pray and commune and thank God at any time and all times, so that, those communications are open between us. Paul also tells us that in verse 18 that we need to be alert. We need to know what's going on around us. We need to, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us we're to be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We need to have an attitude where we know what's happening in our world, in the nation, in our neighborhood, and in our church. But this doesn't mean that we sit watching and listening to the news 16 hours a day or constantly gossiping with people around us. That's not the idea. We need to be alert. But the whole goal of being alert and being aware of what's happening around us is that we can pray for these situations. So we need to be aware of what's happening and we need to pray about them. And Paul says we need also to be persistent. He says to keep on praying. And so I think that can be understood, that we need to be persistent in understanding that sometimes prayer is difficult. In the same way that sometimes conversation is difficult or awkward. In a conversation, there are different levels of conversation, aren't there? You can, you know, be at a shop and say, hello, how are you? You know, thank you very much. And they may respond. You may have a conversation, but it's no real communication. There's no conversation there. Being persistent in prayer means that we need to not just have a surface level prayer. It needs to go beyond the sort of what might be a surface level prayer, but going deeper in understanding and speaking to God, sharing with Him your concerns and your concerns with those around you, and also calling on things that you know about His nature and His promises, so that you can talk to God about your situation and what you know that He knows and wants with this world. We also need to be persistent in bringing the burdens of our heart before the Lord. And we saw that this morning in the reading that we read together in Psalm 142, David's prayer. Some of the things he said in that and that we said together when we read that. He said, I cry to the Lord. I pour out to Him my complaint. Listen to my cry. He says, I am in desperate need. This was part of David's persistence, that he was bringing again and again things to God that he understood about God's character and that he knew that God was concerned about. And so he was being persistent in his prayer about that. So we can understand that our attitude in our prayer requires a few things: that we need to pray in the Spirit, that we need to pray at all times, that we need to be alert, and that we need to be persistent in our prayers. But we also know from our reading here that strength in the Lord is also to do with who we pray for and how we pray for them. So that's the second idea, that strength in the Lord is about who we pray for and how we pray for them. And if we look in the verses here, verse 19, Paul says, "Pray also for me." And in verse 18, he's saying, "Praying for all the Lord's people." So we see that Paul's asking for prayer for himself. What kind of things do we understand that Paul's asking for prayer for? Well, first of all, one of the things we need to understand is what we don't see. In this, Paul isn't requesting that he be released from his prison. We don't see any mention of that. We don't see him talking about the fact that he wants to be out of his arrest. We also don't see him praying about in this passage, we don't see him praying about this thorn in the flesh. He hasn't referred to that at all. But what we do see, Paul prays, he says, "Pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me." So he prays that he's able to speak. And we looked earlier that some of the people were not impressed with his speaking ability. And Paul addresses this in his request for prayer for himself. He wants his prayer, he wants prayer so that he has clarity in speaking the word of God. And when we think about that, do we pray for those who come and bring God's word to us regularly? Do we pray for Mike and Armel when they're preaching? Do we pray as they're preparing? Do we pray that they'll speak God's truth and that they'll speak it clearly and that what's spoken, it won't be their own words, but it'll be God's words? What else does Paul ask here? He asks that he's able to make known the mystery of the gospel. Why does he ask this? Well, because to the unrepentant mind, it's confusing. It's a mystery. So Paul asks that his speech is clear, that it's understandable. What is the mystery of the gospel? Well, that's the fact that God created everything. He created it from nothing. He's the creator of everything. He's the perfect and right ruler of everything. He brought mankind into the world, and his original creation was perfect. Adam and Eve lived with him in perfect communion. But mankind in Adam and Eve rebelled against him, and sin entered the creation. And we, each one of us, carry on their rebellion. It's also that God created a perfect heaven for people to live with him, but he's a perfectly just God, and he cannot tolerate sin. Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect and sinless life. And he died as the perfect sacrifice. He raised to life 3 days later, defeating sin and death. And the mystery is that this gift of salvation is free to everyone. It can't be earned. It's not something that we can work for. If you have questions about this, please speak to someone afterwards, myself or Mike, Steve, or Paul. So Paul also asks for boldness, and he mentions this a couple times in these few verses. If you imagine he's in chain, he's under arrest. It's a difficult situation, and so he's asking for boldness that he can share this mystery. And we read earlier that one of the things he saw in himself was his weakness and his timidity. He knows that of himself, just like each one of us knows our own weaknesses. And so Paul's asked for boldness because he knew that with the filling of the Spirit, with the boldness that God can give, then the word spoken can have power, not his own power, but that of God. And finally, we see that Paul asked for prayer for all the saints. And we need to do the same. We need to pray for Christians around the world. And we see that Martin this morning spoke about Barnabas Fund. And that's a good help for us to be able to pray for the persecuted church around the world. There's an app called Operation World that gives prayer points for different countries. And that can be a very helpful way to pray for different countries. So we need to pray for Christians around the world, but we also need to pray for brothers and sisters in our own congregation. This is part of the reason why it's a good idea to become a member of your local church. Here we've committed to upholding each other in prayer. And we need to get to know each other in order to pray effectively. A good way to do it is to pray through the members list, to try to speak to each member, and learn to pray that way for one another. And one thing that is quite good is to read and see what Paul prayed for the Christians. And I think it might be good if we take a few minutes now just to do exactly that, to think and pray about those in the congregation, about Christians you know. And what I'm going to do, we're going to bow and we're going to pray. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some of the things that Paul prayed for the Christians when he wrote letters to them. And it's a long list. And so it's good that we can spend some time just praying those words about the people here in the congregation and others that you know. So let's bow for a few minutes in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for your people. And we think about the words that the Apostle Paul prayed for Christians that he knew. Help us to pray those for Christians that we know. We're thankful for the faith of those that we know that are Christians. We thank you for their faithfulness in prayer. We pray for unity in the body. We pray that they would glorify God. We pray for their perfection in you. We pray for your grace to each of them. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your word. We pray that we get to know you better. We pray that you would strengthen in your spirit your church. We pray that you would make your people rooted and established in your love. We pray for your power. We pray that your love would abound. We pray that you would make us pure and blameless. We pray that you would fill with your spirit and the fruit of your spirit. Pray that you would make your people not anxious. Pray that they would know your will. Pray that they would live a life worthy of you. Pray that they would please you. That they would bear fruit. That they would grow. That they would be strengthened. and that you would give endurance and patience. Pray that you would help us to see others and that you would supply what's lacking in the faith. Pray that you would make your love increase and overflow for one another. Pray that you might strengthen in the hearts that we would be blameless and holy. Pray that you would sanctify your people. Pray that the grace of Christ would be with them. Pray that they would be counted worthy of your calling. Pray that you might fulfill every good purpose and every act prompted by your faith. Pray that the name of Jesus would be glorified in them. Pray that you would strengthen and encourage in every good word and deed. Pray that you would direct hearts into your love, into Christ's perseverance. Pray that you would bring peace. Pray that you would show mercy. Pray that you would make us active in sharing your faith. Pray that you would bring a full understanding of every good thing that we have in you. We bring all these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.